On the cover, we see Alina and Highwire crawling around in the darkness under the stage. Dead center between them, a bright rectangle beams light upwards. A door to the lab beneath that everyone in the school is searching for.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Highwire, and my life's like a three-ring circus.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 78, Secrets of the Theater.
We are going to start back in the classroom, and we see the students who have finished cleaning all of the desks and your classmates, and there are sort of like four conspicuously empty seats. And at the front of the room, Damascus Steele sits behind this desk that he kind of makes look tiny. And he has on the front of the desk, or on his desk, a printed out sheet of the blueprints of the high school. And he's kind of flipping through them. And he's looking through things, and there are rooms that already have X's on them. And he's flipping through levels, and he gets to the auditorium, and there's still like no marking on it. And he's looking through all of these pages, and all of these other rooms have X's. And so he like pulls out a marker and uncaps it and just circles the room and sort of taps his finger on it, and then looks back at the class and says, "Keep working through those math equations, class. I will be back in a moment." And he stands up and walks out of the classroom. And we're going to cut back to the auditorium. And
Frequency is just talking to Rowena. Their backs turned to the stage, while in the background, you just see the platform slowly level.
Yeah.
And just Alina just sort of fold herself in, and then a thump.
Yeah, as the stage sort of thumps closed, you hear that and turn and see behind you where there was this big raised platform, there is now just a smooth surface of the stage, and all of your friends are gone.
Oh boy. And so I definitely say to myself, like, there's something that's like, oh man, this can't be good.
I think you're definitely not super worried about Alina. She can definitely take care of herself.
Yeah. I'm not running over there. It's, you know, things like this happen all the time.
So you're standing there, and it's just you and this girl whose name you know is not real.
Correct.
And who is giving off some weird computer vibes.
Yep. I'll sort of be direct. I'm just going to ask her. I sort of turn to her. I'm like, so your name isn't Rowena, is it?
No, that's the name that Alina gave me.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I've never really seen you around. Are you new here?
I mean, I've been at the school for... And she kind of looks up and starts to, and like closes her eyes and is thinking really hard. Like harder than it should be to remember like a year or 2 years or a month or however long. And she's like thinking, and you can see her kind of like maybe even like twitching her fingers, like she's doing some math. And she says, I've been here for 6 months. 6 months.
Okay. And so what would you like me to call you?
I would like you to roll to provoke her to tell you her name, if that's what you want.
That is what I want. Yep. Ho! Oh, that's a 12 on the dice.
Oh, shit.
Plus another 3. So that's a 15.
Okay, so...
Heckin' provoke.
So on a 10+, they rise to the bait and do what you want. So what you want her to tell you her name.
Yeah.
She is going to say, she kind of like, as you're sort of just like, you're being very casual. You're not pushing. You're just kind of like asking some questions. And she is going to say, well, most people call me Dinah. That's not really my name either, but I think that's what you can call me.
Okay. Dinah. Nice to meet you. I'm going to ask a real personal question now.
Okay.
Do you have like tech powers?
I think she's going to physically step back from you, first, but she's not running. And she is kind of like squinting at you. And she's going to ask, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I have powers. My siblings have powers, and I know it sounds weird, but there's just a weird sense about you. Here, let me show you. And I like just like hold out my palm, and I'm gonna make like a little hologram of something, but I don't know what in my palm, and I don't know what.
Okay.
Yeah,
is it
there you
a
go. Yeah, that's what it is.
Is it a butterfly?
A unicorn?
You know. Yeah, it's a butterfly.
Okay.
I just feel that's the go-to. Like, I'm going to make a thing that flies around that you look at.
Okay. Yep. And she kind of looks at it weirdly for a second, and then she's going to take two quick steps forward, like, very quickly. And she's going to kind of, like, brush your hand away and, like, grab your face. Like, not hard, but just, like putting her hands on both sides of your face.
Sage is going to kill me if you die.
kind of like just smushing your face a little bit, and you feel just like she's very warm. Like, people are warm when you touch them, but she is like, her hands are hot on your face, and you feel like your powers, like that latent sense that like tracks like the flow of data, it mm-hmm. like lights up.
Oh, okay.
And she is like, basically, she's like that sort of that feeling that like every time you are reaching out past the school, you're going through this like protect, like this layer that's like that something is watching what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling that, except that it has like swept through your whole body, and as though something just scanned you.
Oh,
and. In a very, like, very rigid way, she lets go and steps back and puts her hands to her sides. And she's almost, like, really embarrassed that she just did that. And she says, I'm sorry, I just had to make sure that you weren't, no, but you're fine. I sort of have some powers.
Okay.
But not the way that you think.
Yeah, you could have asked, but...
I'm sorry, I had to make sure that you weren't here to... do harm.
No, probably the exact opposite. That guy that you don't like, I think is a, I mean, I wouldn't call him a super villain, but he's like
a medium villain.
Yeah.
He's looking for the lab.
Oh, like the faculty labs downstairs?
No. I mean, and she starts like, she stops and has to like think. I wouldn't describe them that way, no.
So you're saying there's other labs hidden in the school?
I've probably told you too much.
No, Dinah.
Could I convince you to forget I said something about the lab?
No, I don't think so, but if this is what he's looking for, we gotta make sure he doesn't find it.
And she is going to turn and kind of like really pointedly look at the stage, and we're going to get one panel of like you following her view to this where there is no longer a big hole, and then a reverse shot of the two of you standing next to each other, and behind you looming in the doorway to the auditorium is Steel.
Oh no.
So under the stage is pitch black. Except you have, Celeste, you have a flashlight, and Sam also has a flashlight. Alina, you are probably...
Without flashlight.
Without flashlight, but also are, I don't know how well, would you have landed on your feet when you rolled through at the last minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are sort of maybe in a three-point hero landing in the dark, in this cramped space. There's lots of like cobwebs and stale wood smell.
I'm kind of like in a bad mood. So I'm probably just gonna take Sam's flashlight and maybe sweep the leg in order to take Sam's flashlight.
Are you attacking him?
Yeah.
All right. Roll to directly engage a threat.
He's not a threat. He's my boyfriend.
It's a 9 on the dice. Would you have defended him?
If I saw her going to move, yes.
Okay. What? So you said your goal was to take something from him.
Yes.
So you rolled an 11, so you get to pick 2. Which of these 2 would you take? Or would you choose? Take something from him and resist or avoid his blows. Take something from him, create an opportunity, impress, surprise, frighten.
I'm taking the flashlight from him and I'm resisting and avoiding his blows.
Okay, so if you would like to defend him, then I think that she is going to take his flashlight, but she is also physically attacking him still. So if you would like to try to stop Alina from hitting your boyfriend, then you can roll to defend.
Okay. What is that plus? Someone remember?
Savior.
Oh, which is a minus 2 right now.
Oh, no.
Oops. So that's only a 6.
Okay. So... Alina, describe for me. So you've stepped forward and you sort of like grab the flashlight out of his hand. What does the rest of that attack look like? Like, are you punching him? Are you shoving him? What is your intent? Are you sweeping? You said you were sweeping the leg.
I'm sweeping the leg. And as his grip relaxes on the flashlight, I take it from him.
Okay. And so Celeste, you see this attack coming and you step in to try to defend. But I think that what happens is you try to position yourself between him and Alina, but you were expecting maybe her, because she's reaching forward to grab the flashlight. I think maybe you think she's going for sort of a, like, to punch him in the face. And so you're not watching as she sweeps your leg instead. And so, he is already off balance because you jumped in front of him and pushed him out of the way. And so what sort of happens is like Alina grabs the flashlight, you push yourself in front of him. He kind of falls backwards. Like Alina sweeps your leg and you spin and fall straight on top of Sam. And as you sort of like are like have this really awkward moment of now you're like laying on top of him in the dark, you grab at something to try to push yourself up, and what you grab, like you grab, it's like a pulley system that like there's some extra larger pulleys under the stage for some of the heavier fly bars, and you expect it to be solid, but when you pull on it to pull yourself up, it twists in a way that you don't expect, and suddenly the ground underneath you lights up and kind of goes like bright white and it blinds you, and then you fall, like you feel yourself, like you feel the ground kind of become spongy, like you can kind of like it, you sort of depress in like your other hand, which is still pushed on it, it depresses a little bit, and you feel Sam like fall through the floor beneath you. And then you let go of the pulley and the ground becomes very solid again. And you kind of like bash your face against the ground as you fall, like now not on Sam, but just on the ground. And then it's dark. Alina has the flashlight. I think your flashlight probably breaks in the process. And Sam is gone somewhere under the stage, under the understage.
Well, that wasn't what I was anticipating.
And so, oh Alina, gosh. You were standing.
Yes.
And you just swept 2 people's legs, basically. One of them then fell through a white window in the floor and disappeared. And now you're standing with just Celeste.
I just look at Celeste and say, what in the world are you guys up to?
I don't know.
That's not helpful.
I know it's a really bad answer, but I'm kind of freaking out right now because I have no idea where he just went. And I'm here for reasons. He's here for slightly different reasons. I was trying to get him to tell me what he was doing. And I don't know. I don't know where he is. And that's kind of freaking me out right now. And I don't know what's happening.
Shall I assess?
Sure.
Ooh, nice.
That's
9, pretty good. 10.
On a 10 plus, you get to ask 2 questions.
All right. So what here is in the greatest danger?
I would say that Sam is probably in the greatest danger.
Oh, dear.
He fell through the floor, and you don't know where that is or where that goes or why.
Okay. So what can I do? What here can I use to retrieve him?
Thanks.
There is some sort of a technological, like some sort of not, something opened up and let him fall through in a way that you don't necessarily understand, but it's technology and you have a really good friend who does things with technology.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ping frequency again and just say, hey, I think we're going to need some assistance over here. You good?
And do you answer, sorry, do you have a phone that you use or do you answer in your mind when someone calls you?
I still talk, but I don't take my phone out.
And, okay. Okay.
I'm not wearing a headset necessarily or anything, but
okay.
Realistically, I probably have like a microphone wired somewhere.
So we cut back to you in the auditorium and we get this panel that's like maybe a full page panel, and we get the end of Alina's question, and we see this full page panel of Ben standing with Damascus behind him with a hand, like a big hand on each of your shoulders. So he had caught up to you and is sort of like grabbing you. So how do you respond to this?
I think I'm being called to see the principal.
ODIP.
Mr. Steele, how can I help you?
You and your friends left class.
I'm sorry. I had to run to the bathroom, and we were asked to help out here with the school play.
Mr. Schultz, I think we both know at this point that there isn't really a play going on here. What are you really doing in this room?
I'm just investigating, you know, just some technical problems around the school.
Where is Ringleader?
Who?
Sam. What have you done with him?
There's a look of understanding on my face. Oh, he ran out with that girl from class. I think they said something about the swimming pool.
That sounds more plausible. I think he relaxes his hands on your shoulder a little bit, and he's like, damn it, I gotta stop hiring kids. Who are you to be intervening in my investigation here? Why are you doing this?
Intervening in an investigation? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
And he is going to put one hand back on your shoulder. Like he was standing behind you, and he has, when he let go after you told him that Celeste and Sam ran off, he had kind of like let go of you and was like pacing around, like muttering about hiring kids. And when you kind of give him another dumb answer, he's going to again put a big hand on your shoulder and almost from nowhere just pull out this big knife.
And Jesus. It's
And it's just like a big, like something you would use to cut vines in the jungle,
like
or something
a big
like
machete.
That. Yeah, but in his hands, it looks like a knife.
Okay,
and he starts just kind of like waving it, like pointing it towards you, and he's like, "Let's stop playing dumb, kid. What are you doing here? Why didn't you stay in the classroom? What are you doing here? Stop playing dumb. Do the smart thing and just answer my question." And I want to shift your labels. He's shifting your superior up and your danger down.
I reject his influence.
Okay.
because I don't care what he thinks. And whenever I reject others' influence, I add +2 to my roll. So okay. That's a 10.
Oh, boy. When you reject others' influence roll and hit, you successfully hold true to yourself and tune them out. So yeah, it was a 10 plus?
10 plus.
So you choose 2. Clear condition to mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift 1 label up and 1 label down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 against them.
I think I'm going to, because they're an adult, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cancel their influence over me.
Okay. And you'll get +1 against
and
them.
I'll get +1 forward. And I'm going to clear a condition.
Ooh.
I have afraid marked.
Okay.
I'm going to clear that.
And then how are you going to act to immediately prove him wrong?
Ooh, sorry. He just said that he wanted me to...
He's basically saying, get smart. You're not, like, stop standing up to me. Like, just tell me what you're doing here, why you're meddling in all yeah. this.
And he's, like, waving a big giant machete in my face.
Yeah. He's trying to physically threaten you.
Yep. To be honest, Mr. Steele, we were just tipped off that something fishy was going on, and I really haven't found anything yet, but you've given me quite a good bit of information, but I told you the truth. Sam ran off to the pool, and, you know, Celeste ran after him saying she was going to stop him.
Who tipped you off?
I don't know. I just found a note in the classroom.
Who were you working for?
Not working for anyone. I'm just a high school student.
And who is this? And he's going to point the knife at Dinah.
This? Rowena Schuyler. New girl at school. She got sucked in to this.
You're wearing my patience thin. I don't believe these lies.
Look.
I want to find some truth here.
Look at your list. I'm here for having an unsanctioned key card to the school. I'll bring you down to the pool right now and I'll let you in.
If you're just a regular student, not here to interfere with me, then leave. Walk away, go back to class, read your book.
Fine. And I grab Dinah's hand.
No, she stays.
Here's the question, though. Did he just say she stays, or did he grab her other wrist?
So...
I just want to know how severely I'm going to react.
I think he definitely goes to grab her. I think she is faster than him. So I think that she is able to sort of like get her hand out of the way. But I think that she is going to start to like, she's going to lose her balance a little bit because he's a big dude. Yeah. He's reaching for her. So she's faster than him, but she's going to start to fall over. Because he sort of like took a couple steps forward and tried to grab it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to build a damsel in distress situation. Just a like, how aggressive is he acting?
Yeah.
So I guess.
He's pretty aggressive.
Yeah. So I guess at this point, I'm going to try and activate one of those spotlights that's probably aimed towards like his face.
Okay.
Big, bright, white light.
Okay.
At least distract him for a minute.
So it sounds like you're trying to distract him.
And we'll also say I've been slowly positioning the spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So roll whatever that move is.
Roll plus superior. So an 8 on the dice. +3,
okay.
So 11. On a hit, they're fooled, at least for a moment. On a 10 plus, I choose 3 of these.
Oh, damn.
I know. So I'm going to confuse them for some time.
Okay.
I'm going to avoid further entanglement.
Nice.
And I'm going to expose a weakness or flaw.
Okay. He is... So you turn on this flash... This flashlight. This spotlight. And he... takes this knife and just hurls it at the spotlight. It blinds him in his face, and he is thinking, someone is up there pointing this spotlight at me.
Mm.
And so he just reacts and throws this knife straight through the air, and it just like crashes into the spotlight. It's a big knife. The light, like the glass in the light, sparks and shatters, and the light goes out, but it's going to give you a moment to do something. He throws his knife, and you can see that he kind of goes to reach for something else, and he doesn't have any other weapons on him because he's in a suit. He's dressed for school. Like the knife was his one thing,
okay.
But he reacted a little bit too aggressively against this light. And he's still kind of like squinting, and like, he doesn't like quite have his sight back. And he's still, and when he's looking up at the catwalk to see if there was someone up there. Cause he hasn't made the connection that you did this remotely.
Okay.
And so you're going to have a moment to sort of, collect yourself and Dinah,
yeah,
if you want to. And at that moment, So now I want to cut back to the two of you, Celeste and Alina, under the stage. What are you doing? Are you trying to get? Are you trying to open the thing? Are you? What are you trying to do?
I guess.
Celeste, you're still laying like face down on the ground. That's where we left you. At least.
That is where we left me, isn't it?
Here, get up off the floor and see if you can help me find something to open up that thing again.
I don't know how to do any of that. I'm not tech. He's tech. He's the one who does this sort of thing. I just stand back and think he's good at it. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Deep breath. I'm not a tech person either. I do know that when you push buttons, sometimes things happen. So you try on that side. I'm going to try on this side.
That sounds like you're trying to comfort or support her.
Is it? I thought she was trying to just provoke me to actually be helpful instead of having a panic attack about my boyfriend.
Down. Don't have a panic attack.
We have a plan.
We have a plan. That's Alina comforting and supporting.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will logic you out of your sadness.
I was going to say it's Spock style.
Nope.
Snake eyes.
All right.
Oh, no. That's a one.
I just start crying. No, I don't know what happens.
Yeah, so you take this girl who you don't really know all that well, who just attacked you and Sam, is now like, stop worrying about things. Like, we can sort this out. I don't know what you're so upset about. I didn't just attack you. I don't know what you're talking about. And it doesn't really land well. So what do you do? How do you react to that?
You basically tell her to shut up and calm down.
at least that's how you take it.
Yes. So I just kind of, I've gotten up off the ground and I just like one step have you pressed up against one of the walls with like an arm across your chest. I'm like, don't you dare tell me to calm down right now. Unless you have something useful that we can actually do, I'm going to be a little bit worried about my boyfriend who just disappeared into a blinding white light into God knows what.
Alina, how do you respond to that?
Oh, I don't respond well at all. I'm pretty much going to slip out from underneath her hold and restrict her because now she's...
Now I am a threat.
Okay. Yeah, now she's in the way I'm trying to do, which is save her stupid boyfriend.
Are you using your telekinesis to like hold her, or did you like zip tie her? Or
yeah, I slipped. I like reversed the hold and then grabbed a little bit of show rope.
I don't.
And tied her hands behind her back.
I don't know if there's rope, but you have stuff on you.
Yes.
Okay. So you sort of reverse that and you are trying to like bind her hands behind her her hands. And in this moment, as you're like sort of like you're going back and forth with yelling at each other and physically struggling. And then there is just this bright white, like you are in almost pitch black, because at this point, probably the two of you have both abandoned your flashlights. Mm-hmm. The flashlight is probably like on the ground somewhere, shining somewhere. So there's a little bit of light, but it's basically pitch black in here. And it goes from pitch black to blinding brilliant light in a second. And suddenly, both the floor and ceiling above you in this like circle ring become transparent glass. You can see. And there is just like this blinding beacon of light coming up from underneath of you. And when you look down, you can see that Sam is down there in surrounded by some like spaceshipy looking thing. And he is just pushing buttons, trying to figure something out. And he has clearly just flipped this lever and turned the whole thing transparent, and the lab down there is this bright white wall. And so when we cut back to Frequency and Dinah and Damascus, you are all startled as this even the auditorium is like kind of like old just reddish lights, work lights. It's not really well illuminated. The show lights aren't all, except for the one spotlight, which then got knifed really hard.
Yeah.
And suddenly this like brilliant pillar of light emits from the stage And you can't see your friends yet, but you see this pillar of light.
Yeah.
And I think everyone outside turns to the stage.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Hey, Damascus, ignore that. That's just part of the show. There's nothing there. I think I'm going to try to run over there. I think, and in the meantime, also try to raise up the stage.
Okay.
Okay.
That part that was elevated earlier. To,
yeah.
Basically, I'm trying to open it up.
Okay.
Because I don't want to take him one. I don't want to take him one on one.
I'd like you to roll on Unleash Your Powers.
Okay, I can do that. An 8.
Mark condition or tell the GM how the effect is, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
I think I'm going to mark a condition.
All right. Which one are you going to mark?
I think guilty.
Okay.
Because in doing so, I know that I'm letting him know where they are.
Okay.
I don't necessarily know if that's where he's trying to get to, but it's he was looking for at least Sam,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's where they were.
Okay.
So I'm sort of giving away their position.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But you're saying I would rather give away their position than fight this dude alone.
Correct.
Which makes sense.
Correct.
And
I'll,
okay.
I'll help them fight.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm running towards it also.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, so you start to move and do that. And are you trying to hang on to Dinah's hand as you do that? Or are you letting go of her?
I mean, I'm encouraging her to come running along. It's not like a stay with me, I'll protect you sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can come with us.
So she is definitely going to come with her or with you.
Okay.
And run towards the stage. But I'm imagining that you would have to run around to where there are stairs to run up onto the stage. Like Celeste kind of just like did some acrobatics to get up on the stage quickly.
Because I could like take the stairs two at a time. Mm-hmm. I would have to like stop and like hoist myself up and put my butt on the stage and pivot around. So, yeah,
so you'd run around, but at some point Dinah lets go of your hand and she just vaults up onto this stage like easier than Celeste did. And when she lands, you can see that her hands like have, in the way that Alina saw earlier, her hands and like wrists have extended a little bit and her legs have extended a little bit. And so she's a little bit taller than she was before. And you could see that there is this like white pillar of, like central metal that has some sort of a mechanism inside it. It's not like gears and like sort of tipped, like it's not like a Terminator cyborg thing, mm-hmm. but it looks more like the technology you see down when you look through this transparent floor.
Okay.
And her head kind of like, I want to say, so like where those seams were, it all like, it disconnects a little bit. And her, as the pieces of, her head expand and, so you can see, like, her whole face slides forward and in a very, like, weirdly disconcerting way. And you can see there are these, like steel or, like, some sort of a metallic, bands with gaps between them that have just, like, black mesh or something underneath of it. And that, like, so there's this gap, and it looks like this.
Okay.
For you guys, not for the listeners. And it sort of looks, it has, so this gap between her head and her face has this look of a sort of old-timey microphone look to it. And her ears and like the back of her head kind of extend and actually like flip around and are, and they look like speakers.
Okay.
And they look a lot like the speakers that for our readers who have read the last light show comic where they went into space, it looks like those, like there were speaker robots. And it looks like exactly like those kinds of speakers. Like she is an advanced model of that kind of robot.
Okay.
And you can tell now, like she's clearly not a human. if that was not super evident. And she has very robot-y features and she just like flips up onto the stage and lands and slides on this transparent floor and standing in the middle of it turns and like strikes this combat pose facing Damascus. And so the two of you see this girl who was a very meek, kind of like contained, quiet girl before, and now is like clearly a robot, and B, like, is able to jump and run really fast, and is in some kind of a looks like she's ready for combat.
Okay,
hell yeah,
yeah.
And but so ass. You did roll well, so
I did.
The stage starts to lift up again. The whole thing kind of rotates a little bit and slides up, and it actually extends further than it did before, because previously the floor was still below the layer level of the actual stage, but now that lower level is fully rotated up so that it is level with the stage. It's still transparent, but now the two of you, mid-fight with each other, are now staring basically at Frequency, who has just run up onto the stage, and Damascus, who is hurrying up the other stairs that you didn't go up. And above you is Dinah. And below you is Sam, who is still poking at buttons, trying to figure out what's going on down there.
Okay. I take a look, just kind of frantically start untying Celeste. Like, oh shit, sorry.
Never mind, didn't mean to do that.
We're gonna need you. I'm gonna assess the situation. 8.
Do you have an assess the situation move that gives you extra things if you do it before a battle? Mm-hmm. And what does that move give you?
When I assess the situation before entering into a fight, I may ask one additional question even on a miss.
Okay. So you rolled an 8. Mm-hmm. So you get to ask one question plus your bonus and get +1 while acting on those questions.
Okay. How best could we end this quickly?
You are putting together... You figured out that the Damascus Steel is trying to figure out, he wants whatever is in this lab under the mm-hmm. stage. And if you can lock it down and make a stand here, he will have to back off because he's not going to like destroy the school. And also he's alone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well, because you're not super sure how much Sam and this girl you don't know are working for him. Maybe really. Mm-hmm. Sam certainly seems to be. But if you can, basically, if you can just make an aggressive stance, he will have to back off.
Okay.
So at least for today, that's how you could end this quickly.
Okay. So my bonus question is, what here can I use to stop him in his tracks? Convince him that trying to struggle past us isn't worth the effort.
Right now, you have been fighting Celeste, and you have been separated from Frequency and from Dinah. You don't really know who Dinah is. Mm-hmm. You don't even know that her name is Dinah. If you can pull this team together in a way that sort of looks less like a bunch of kids stumbled into this and looks more like a team of superheroes is defending this school from a villain, then... he's going to be less likely to continue making a push on this.
Okay.
I guess, Celeste, what are you doing while she is untying? You went from having Alina pinned to the wall to then she pinned you to the wall, and then she tried to tie you up, and then you were lifted up onto the stage, and then she immediately started untying you. It has been a whirlwind of just spinning around, and you're getting And Sam is still below you, and Frequency is still out on the stage somewhere. Dinah is above you, although you don't know that's her name. And Damascus Steel is moving towards you.
So is there like a window wall thing situation going on? Like, can I reach Sam, or is he just...
There's a glass floor. Whatever, something opened up and let him through, but that thing is not open now. It's just a solid glass floor. So you can see him down there, but you can't get down there. Unless you can figure out what mechanism or something. Like, you know you pulled the lever, but that lever is now below you. Actually, no. I think that all the pulleys that were on the floor would still be connected to the floor. So maybe if you went over and pulled that pulley again, it would still open that door.
I'm going to try to do that if I can.
Okay. Before you were sort of laying on top of him and you pulled this, like, it's a pulley system hooked up to some ropes that are going up to the ceiling. And you kind of like pulled it away from the wall and it opened this rectangular door and he fell through it and you let go and it solidified underneath you. So how are you doing that this time? Are you going to try to stand where it opened and pull, or are you going to pull and then try to jump down?
I
Just describe that scene.
Yes.
Pulling on the pulley is going to open this door and let you through. So just go ahead and describe what that looks like.
I'm trying to think of how to do this that doesn't end up with me also trapped in a weird spaceship. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to position myself so that I am not standing directly on whatever trapdoor this is, but like next to it, and pull on this pulley, hoping that it will open. And if it does open and I don't immediately fall through,
mm-hmm.
I am reaching my hand down to him. And if he looks up and sees that I'm there and I haven't fallen through, I say, "You want to clear your debts and be a hero?"
He is going to stop looking through these things and turn to you and say, I think so.
Then it starts right now. Come on.
And he is going to, I think that he is going to keep just like he's moving towards you, but he's still looking through like there are tables and like consoles of computers that he's looking for something he can grab. If you want him to move immediately and just leave, then I need you to roll to provoke him.
We will try our best. So it's at a 5.
Oh no.
But I have a plus 1 against for influence on ringleader, apparently.
Because okay. You have influence on him,
yes,
over him.
A 6.
Okay.
Can I use team?
You could, yeah. So I was gonna say.
I'm just gonna use team.
So there is two, I think there's two team.
Okay. So I'm grabbing the lever and I'm just saying, go get him now.
Okay. And so you're gonna hold the lever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will bring us to a 7. So on a 7 to 9, they can choose to stumble. You take +1 against them. The air grant you gain a critical opportunity. They overreact. You gain influence over them. I think he's going to stumble. So if Alina holds this lever, yeah, are you going to try to jump down to get him, or would you just, what is that like? What is the fact that she is holding this lever? It frees you up to do a little extra.
I think she is going to full on acrobat, hang upside down with her legs over the edge, and like reach down both hands to try and give him something to grab onto. Okay.
And he sees that you have like put yourself physically through this doorway, which he knows too, like snaps in and out of being accessible pretty quickly. And I think that he sees you hanging upside down in this like bright light. And I think he like just literally has like he stumbles and he sees that you're like physically, you're putting yourself out for him to try to help him up. And I think that that stops him. And he's not thinking about, I've got to find something to grab for Damascus. I've got to go be with Celeste. And so he's going to run over and grab your hands and try to just jump and like help. Hopefully you'll help pull him up. Okay.
I would.
and so the two of them come tumbling out from this like sometimes doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they are through, you're free to let go.
Yes. And which I do while admiring her core strength.
Yeah. And so at that point, I think that we are that you are all sort of, you're up on the stage too now, Ben, and you are facing off against Damascus Steel. And so I actually do want to do the team move right now. When you enter battle against a dangerous foe, add 2 to the team. So there was 1 in the pool and now there is 3. Who is the leader? Who is leading this combat?
I am. I'm not even going to try.
Okay.
To feel.
Do you have influence over all of your other teammates? Probably not. Because you don't have influence over Celeste. So you don't add 1. What is your purpose in the fight?
To get Damascus Steel out of the school.
What is your purpose in this fight? Is it something different from get Damascus out of the school?
No, that's, yeah.
Okay, and Ben?
Yeah.
So add 1 to the team. Does anyone mistrust anyone else in the team?
Oh.
You were just fighting Celeste a moment ago.
Yeah, I don't think that I trust
Is
Celeste
Sam a
or
part
Sam.
Of our team?
I don't think he's part of the team.
No, I'm going to say he is.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. you said...
Let's be heroes.
It's time to be a hero.
Okay, yeah. So then you're right, yes.
And I don't think I necessarily...
came along.
I don't think he's here to be part of the team.
I don't think I necessarily trust him.
Okay, so...
Highwire, on the other hand?
If any team member... So remove 1 team. So we're back down to 3. Are you ill-prepared or off-balanced? I don't think so. I don't think you're particularly well-prepared. Alina is particularly well-prepared because she has stopped to think about this a little bit. But I don't think you're ill-prepared, so don't remove a team. So... Alina, you could choose to mark a condition to avoid removing that one if you would like.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Okay. So we're at three.
You're facing off. The four of you are facing off against this one giant dude, Damascus Steel.
I pull the fire alarm with my telekinesis.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like that. The fire alarm starts to go off. Sirens start to hit. There were a couple final stragglers from Ringleader's team who were like up on some scaffolding, but they were staying out of this because this was not what they were paid to do. Mm-hmm. As soon as the alarm starts to go off, they are gone. So it's literally just the couple of you. The lights turn on, like the emergency lights turn on. The doors to the auditorium, which were open, their magnets release and slam shut.
What?
That's how school doors work. It's to stop fires.
Yeah.
They're not locked. They're not locked. They're just closed.
They're closed.
Okay. So no one is going to see you.
Okay.
In here.
That's good.
Which is good. And you know the police have definitely been alerted. Mm-hmm. And in a city, the response time to a fire alarm in a school is probably pretty low. So you have set a hard timer to this conflict before like the police and the firemen show up. So who acts? So what are the rest of you doing? Who's acting next? What's going on? He doesn't. So Damascus doesn't have a knife anymore, but he is a big dude and he just has his fists balled up. He's just, I guess, prepared to fist fight you or something. He is going to, if none of you like sort of step forward to attack him, he looks up and sees Dinah on top of the thing. He sees Ringleader and Highwire pull each other up through this floor, and he's actually just going to like try to punch the floor really hard to see what happens. And it actually like splinters a little bit, like not a lot, but like a little bit more than you were expecting from just a dude punching the floor. And so he kind of looks at his fist and goes, huh. And then looks back at the rest of you and starts to take a couple steps forward.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
I think I need to keep him distracted for a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to do the patented frequency war cry, which is kind of high-pitched, not squeal, but just like a, ah! and just do what I do best and just mm-hmm. run straight at him and just sort of like do like a flying leap.
Okay.
Into his not so open arms.
Are you attacking him? Like, is this a directly into threat? I mean,
that's probably what it is.
Or are you trying to distract him from one of your allies?
It's not really what I'm not trying to directly distract him from something. Okay. I'm just trying to keep him busy.
Okay.
It's a six.
Okay. So it's a six.
Do I have a plus one against him? I believe when I rejected his influence.
Oh, no.
Cancel their influence and take plus one okay. forward against
him. You're right. You do. You get a plus one against him. So that's a seven.
That's a seven.
So you get to pick one.
I'm going to resist or avoid their blows.
Okay. So you're just like, basically you're just some kid who has run forward towards this enormous adult and yep. you are screaming yep. and trying to like punch him. And he is just sort of like, he is weathering these blows. When you hit him, it doesn't feel like you're hitting a person. It feels like you're hitting a metal plate. Okay. Like, and so you don't really feel like you're doing a lot of damage, but you're definitely like, you're participating in this fight.
Yeah.
If they were giving out fight trophies, you're getting a participation trophy. Yeah.
I'm like a fly that's buzzing around his head.
And you're just like kind of, and like, he's not even like focusing on you because it just doesn't even hurt like at all. And this is not a you thing. He has like impenetrable skin. So yeah. like, it would be hard for anyone to hurt him. And, but it's pissing him off. And he is going to take another just massive punch at the ground. Oh. And it's going to, and this, the glass beneath him is going to just like crack even more than it did the first punch.
So I've gotten Ringleader out from under there. All of that is back up. And I look at him and I just say, what the hell is Damascus trying to do right now? And if you know, how do we stop him?
Sam is going to just say, he wanted us to find the lab. We found the lab. He wants what's in the lab. I don't know what he's doing with it. He didn't tell me. He paid me to find the lab.
Okay. Well, you found the lab, and the fact that there's glowing bright lights everywhere and a entrance that doesn't exist half the time is telling me this is probably really bad. So
he wants the alien tech.
Yeah, Damascus getting hands on alien tech sounds like the worst thing.
He kind of eyes the very clearly robot girl above you. And he goes, we could just like let him have her. I mean,
all right, that conversation has gone on long enough. So I've listened to that for the information. And I've said, listen, we're not giving anybody to anybody.
I agree with her.
And I spot a can of open paint.
Okay.
On the floor. Yep. Swish it towards me with my telekinesis. And I mean, I'm just going to start pouring it on top of his head.
So you're pulling the can with telekinesis towards you and you're grabbing it and running it towards him?
Yeah.
To then like throw paint on him?
Yes.
Okay. With the purpose of attacking him or the purpose of blinding him? All right. Roll to unleash your powers.
We're just trying to annoy Damascus into stopping.
So I am an 8.
Okay. So on a 7-8, you also, I think, get plus one. No, sorry. So you get plus one. It'll be in a 9 because you assess the situation and you're sort of starting to do stuff. So mark a condition or the GM will tell you how the effects are unstable or temporary.
I'm going to mark afraid.
Okay. And so you just throw this paint in his face.
Mm-hmm.
So
what color paint is it after you pour it out? I mean, I guess it was the same color before you poured it, but now we can see what color it is.
I think it is a Bally High orange of the sunset of Tahitian or South Pacific Island.
Like bright orange paint all over him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was what was there, dude.
Yeah, no. I got you.
Can I swing on a rope?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just grab the nearest stage rope and like swing over and try to like knock into him. Try to kick him off the stage, maybe?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So
that's
roll
cooler.
To directly engage a threat.
That's a 9.
So you run and grab a rope and go to swing on it. What could Ringleader do to help? Something with the counterweight or something to like make you swing faster or further. Like he's gonna spend one team to help you and bring that up to a 10.
Okay, yeah.
So what would that look
how
like?
How about he just tosses her the rope?
Oh yeah. So I think you turn to go grab the rope and he's just there with the rope already. Like he was one step ahead of you. He saw where you were going and he's just like, go do the fighting thing, I guess. Let's take a stand against Damascus.
Go be a
hero. I'm here. Yeah, go be a hero. Like you're better at this than I am, but I'm here to help.
Being here to help is all you really need, at least at first. She takes it and swings.
Okay.
And looks
and so
cool.
That's going to be a 10. So yeah. So describe for me what it looks like as you like swing and kick him off of this like stage.
So I grab this rope, swing over, and I know how to do this because circus encompasses everything I need to know how to do. And she knows that Damascus is way too strong, so she's not trying to actually like injure him. She's just trying to push him off the stage. And when she does it, I think she lands 2 feet against his chest, just pushes against him, hopes that Ben gets out okay.
Yeah.
And lets go of the rope as she hits so that she can then like do a roll in the air and land on the ground rolling.
Okay. And I think that like as frequency, I mean, so like... I think you dodge out of the way and you end up back like as he falls back. I think I'd like to end with like a shot of the four of you standing next to each other, not covered in paint, while Damascus falls like a kind of like a tree and slams against the ground of the auditorium.
Probably down the stairs, off the stage.
Yeah, off the stage. He is really like, this is a bad hit for him. And
this is a low point.
It's a low point in his life. A whole bunch of kids just kick the crap out of him. And he is going to stand up and like look down at himself covered in bright orange paint. He doesn't have his knife. He doesn't have a weapon. You are all still facing off against him, and he's making some hard calculations, and he's just going to be like, he looks up at you and sort of like shakes his fist and says, "All right, you win today. But you," and he points at Ringleader, and he's just like, "You still owe me a debt." And then he's going to turn and walk kind of more calmly than he should out of this auditorium and leave. And so we get a moment where it's just, and they the alarms are still going off. And you start to hear the commotion of firemen entering the school and clearing rooms and coming towards this auditorium.
Should we get back to class?
Yeah.
And I think Dinah will sort of swing and drop down to where you are and like do this weird, like all of her parts kind of like chunk and come back in. So she's not like exposing her robot bits anymore. Her face sort of slides and seals, and she just looks like a girl again. And she's like, "I think I can take care of closing the door. But if you want to see, I guess you've seen it already."
"I'm good.
Maybe next time, Rowena."
And she stops you and is just like, "My name's Dinah."
"Dinah, nice.
Can you keep it sealed?
That's what I'm here for."
"You're here to stop people from getting at that?"
"Mm-hmm. Until he needs it again."
"Oh.
Until who needs it again?"
"Viscount Alfred, of course."
"Viscount Alfred." "Because I've seen the blueprints, I know that there's a loading dock right at the edge of this, you know, right backstage." "Mm-hmm. So we're all just..."
"So yeah, there's a loading dock for loading in extra stuff. So if you want to leave that way."
"Yeah, leave that way."
"So here's my question. Do Ringleader and Highwire leave together, or do you head off separately? Does he head off separately?"
"When Damascus threatened him, I think Highwire reached out and took his hand and has not let go of his hand since that moment."
"Yeah."
"And so they've walked out, and there are fire trucks and everything gathering and whatnot. And she's going to look at him and go, "I don't know if you need to run off or anything, but we should talk. If you're trying to do this, I want to help."
"Okay. I want to do this. I mean, I don't think he's going to work with me anymore, so..."
"Yeah, I don't think he's going to work with either of us."
"All right, let's go be heroes."
"Let's go be heroes."
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio form to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few every episode with a response from our editors. Tim writes, "Hi, PCC team. I love your comics. Here is my question. Will Highwire and Virgo be regularly featured from now on, or are their appearances more of a one-time or a regular occurrence?" Great question, Tim. We love all of our guest stars and want to have them on the show as much as possible. As we try to fill out our comic lines to show you more of the Protean City universe, we're going to try to be bringing them back as frequently as I can. If you and the rest of our listeners let us know which of our guests you've enjoyed the most, we'll do our best to feature those storylines more frequently. So keep listening and keep enjoying our thrilling tales.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter @HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter @RHarvey1211. Highwire is played by our special guest, Emily Buza, from Whelmed, the Young Justice Files podcast, and she can be found on Twitter @EmilyOfArden. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com discord.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.